about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in on this evening, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening. I appreciate y'all for joining me. It's been a while. It has been a long while. Almost probably 2 years. Wow, right? I appreciate y'all for just waiting or not waiting or praying for me, whatever it was that you was doing. I know, again, it's been a while. And I got a couple of messages that was just asking me, like, man, where are you coming from? When, you know, where you, what's going on? When you doing another episode? And this has been a struggle to get this last episode out. Like, this one episode has been just difficult to do. I can't even give you a good reason why it's been difficult. It has just been a struggle to get back into the swing of making sure that I am producing quality content for all of you and for all the listeners, and just making sure that I'm not saying the same things over and over again. A lot of things have transpired in my life. I'm married. I have a son on the way. Things has changed. Got a new job and new career, and just things have been changing and handling that change and handling that process. And what really pushed me today to do this episode, majority of you, I'm recording this on a Wednesday. Majority of you are going to see this drop on a Friday, because that's just how I do the recordings for these. And what really pushed me was I was talking to a friend the other day, and we started talking about just how we wanted our lives to go and how we wanted to live these lives that were God-led, right? And I've just been in these small little transitions in life where one day I'm up, one day I'm down, one day I'm happy, one day I'm not happy. And just trying to remain consistent and being content, and all of these just different things of the mind have been just difficult for me to keep up with. And even much so questioning my relationship with God and making sure that that relationship, as much as the relationship with my wife is important, as much as the relationship with my children is going to be important. Just making sure that those relationships, making sure that I'm prioritizing those relationships accordingly, and making sure that I am making and continuously making the choice of making God my priority. And I think that is what has been the struggle of getting this episode out. And that is the struggle of making sure that God is my priority. You know, I put my relationships a priority. I made my relationship a priority. I made my son a priority. I made myself a priority. I made my career a priority. And I sort of let my spiritual life not be a priority like it should have. And I don't know if anyone can identify with that feeling. I may be on my own with that, but I think that some of us may also struggle with that, right? Where the things that you pray for and you go through these transitions of life and you go through these ups and downs and you go through the upsetting things of life, the transitions of life, you deal with all these different things. And after dealing with all these different things, you figure out the one thing that was the main thing that kind of led you and kept you steady and kept your mind and kept you going and kept you afloat was your relationship with God. And don't get me wrong, was there within these past 2 years did I completely let God go? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that God was in my priority like it should have been. And God had to teach me that in order to maintain my life and in order for me to have a consistent flow of my life, I had to start making him a priority again. Because when I don't, everything else gets out of balance. And I'm not saying that when I say everything gets out of balance, I don't mean a perfect life, right? I don't mean that when you put God first, you automatically have this perfect, sustainable life that you no longer have any issues, you no longer have any problems. I'm saying that when you make God a priority, he lets you and allows you to handle those issues of life accordingly. And unfortunately, I feel like in these past 2 years, I was in limbo where there'd be these moments where he was a priority and then he wasn't, right? And I think what led to that also was God's blessings. And by no means am I saying that God's blessings is the reason why, but I think even of myself that a lot of times my thought process is, or not necessarily a thought process, and I can even make it in general, right? That once we get what it is that we prayed for, we stop praying. And then we wonder why our lives are, why we're popping off a little bit more than what we normally would, or why we have an attitude more than we normally would. And it could be that when God blessed you, you were thankful, you were grateful, you were blown away, and yet forgot that the one thing that helped you to sustain yourself while receiving those blessings, or even when you didn't have those things, was your relationship with God. And I think what God has taught me or is continuously teaching me is my relationship with him should always be primary to the things that I pray for. And that as I receive from him and as I believe on him, that I am making sure that the blessings aren't my God, but that he is. And he gives, he gives, he gives, he gives. But I don't take with the abundance of, or with the mindset of, oh, let me do or handle these blessings first. I take by continuously giving him his worship and glory and honor in my obedience to him. And as I continue to do that, he can trust me with more of those blessings and just continue to expand and expound. And what I'm grateful for God for is his mercy and grace and how he's allowed me to be blessed, to receive blessings, to receive the things that I need, to receive the things that I didn't need, but he still decided to bless me with. And he's given me these things and I can get back to him even though I was out of balance for a while, right? And maybe you haven't experienced that, but that was my experience. But again, thank you for tuning in today. I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all for tuning in today. A lot of you, maybe for those that have listened to old episodes, or some of you that Maybe you've listened to other podcasts. You know that I incorporate within these messages, within these episodes, my mental health journey, along with my spiritual journey, my experiences of life, and also the things that I'm learning throughout God's word to kind of help me with the uplifting of my life and the guidance of my life. And I try to bring that into this podcast, right? Specifically, my mental health journey along with my spiritual journey. And I had a different message. So originally, this podcast episode was going to be called, handling distractions. And the title of it was going to be having healthy distractions, right? And I was going to go into all these different healthy distractions and all these different things. But I got out of prayer today and yesterday, again, going back to a conversation that I had with my friend, and we were talking about making sure that God is our priority and making sure that he's included in our day and making sure that we're going to him. And today, when I was in prayer, one of the things that I would like to say that God inspired me about was is just talking to him and having him take the lead of my life. And there was a song by Shayna Wilson. It's on her, the very first album that she came out with. The song is just entitled Have Your Way. And it has been playing all day. I have been playing that song all day because that's been my heart today is, you know, God, have your way in my life and me surrendering to him and trying to follow him in obedience and me trying to get back to a place where God is in control and I'm surrendering my life back to him. And I was getting ready to record this podcast. I had the notes all planned out and nothing. And I, you know what? Now that I'm saying this, it sounds like the preacher talk, right? When the preacher gets up and he says, you know what? I had a whole nother sermon that I was going to preach, but God inspired me to say something else. and in saying that, that is true for this episode. And I guess that's true for me in this episode. So, if that sounds a little too preachy, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, but, that's literally what happened. Right. And I asked God right before I went on. I was playing again that song, you know, Have Your Way, and that song had just been rotating. I just have had that song on repeat all day. And as I was listening to that song, I said, you know what, God, I have this agenda, I have this plan, but what do you want me to talk about today? And the thought that came to my mind that I felt led by God to talk about because of this being my first episode and because of, you know, everything that has transpired over these last 2 years and of everything that I have been just trying to accomplish with God and, or especially within these past couple of days was how to live a God-led life. And I felt like that should be what I should talk about today. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. One of the things that has been in my journey with my mental health has always been depression. It has been, you know, anxiety and all of those things. But one of the things that I have really just been searching God for is, what does it mean to really put you first, right? What does it mean to live a God-led life? What does that mean for me? What does it mean to live a life for Christ, to live a life with Christ and to spiritually, you know, follow him, right? The problem with sometimes following God is It's an invisible path. I can't see him. I can't always feel him. He's not physical in the sense to where he's right next to me. If God told me to live a wife-led life, then it would be hard and easy, because hard in the sense that I would be relinquishing control of myself to my wife, and I guess in some ways that's what you're supposed to do because you're married, but it would be hard, and yet at the same time it would be easy because I can physically see her. I can hold her hand. I can always hear her voice. She can physically point in different directions. If a perfect example of this would be, if my brothers, if we were going out someplace and they said, "Hey, just get in your car and follow me." As much, and this is a true story, I guess I can talk about this and he wouldn't get too mad. So, my brother Ronnie, he's a really fast driver. And I mean, he's an extremely fast driver. And my brother Ronnie, one of the things that I think he forgets is that if you're following him, that you may not drive as fast as him. And here's the deal. True story. We're going to a restaurant for Mother's Day. My brother Ronnie is leading the way. And, you know, we're doing fine until we hit 75. And when we hit this exit for 75, my brother Ronnie takes off. Now, I have my mom in the car. I have my son in the car. And Ronnie is just hightailing it. Ronnie had to be going 90 to 95 miles per hour. And I'm sitting there trying to go 75, 80 miles an hour with my mom next to me. And I know I can't push it to 90, 95, because that's going to scare her. I got my son in my back. See, and Ronnie is just gone. So finally, I had to turn on the GPS and guide my way to myself to this restaurant. But my point is that even if that was the case, it would still be easier for me to follow my brother and all of his fast driving. It would be easier for me to follow him because I can at least physically see him. Or maybe if he does get out of my view, I can physically call him and say, "Hey, what mile marker are you at? What exit did you take? Can you stop at the gas station and wait for me?" Right? But sometimes in following God is not that easy. Sometimes following God, it's an invisible path. You can't always see him. You can't always smell him. You can't smell his perfume. You can't know all the time when he's in the room. Sometimes it could be just like the disciples experienced, where they were on the boat and the water was splashing and Jesus is on the boat with them. And they're trying to manage this boat within this storm of life, this storm that they've seen as bigger, the biggest storm that they've encountered. And there, it seems like the boat is sinking and Jesus is in the boat and he's asleep. And it feels to them like at that moment, Jesus had abandoned them, because Peter asks Jesus, "Hey, do you care that we perish? Do you care that we're getting ready to die?" Jesus, he wakes up, he calms the sea, and he looks at the disciples and he says, "Why did you doubt?" In one passage, I want to say that it is, "How do you have no faith?" And if I was the disciples, I would be crushed by that statement. I would be crushed by that because, man, I just wanted to know, God, if you were there, if you're here with us, do you care? Because I'm in this terrible, terrible storm. And it just seems like, God, at this moment, you're asleep. Do you care that we're in this mess? Are you worried? Are you concerned at all? And sometimes that's how it feels when you're in this walk with God. Sometimes that's how it comes across, unfortunately, is that, man, God, I don't see you, I don't hear you, and I don't necessarily know what to do. And a lot of us have had that feeling before, especially if you are a Christian, especially if you're trying to live a life that you want to say that's appropriate for God, and you're trying to make him first, you're trying to do all the things, and when you're following him, life gets real chaotic, right? And you're trying to live a God-led life, you're trying to live a life that's appropriate for him, you're trying to do the best that you can, and you just don't know. Maybe there was an unexpected death in the family. Maybe there's an unexpected diagnosis. Maybe, divorce. Maybe you just don't know what's going on. Like, how could this happen to me? Where are you? How do I live a God-led life? How do I live this life with you, God? And I can't see you. I can't hear you. I don't know where you are. There's no easy answer for that, because it's sometimes just difficult. And listen, we can sing all the hymns and we, all the things to try to make it easier. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes learning to lean on God and learning to follow him is hard. There's all these other temptations. There's all these other distractions. There's all these other things that's going on in your life. And it's just difficult. So how do we do it? How do we live this life that we want to live? How do we learn to live a God-led life? I found out that the first steps of learning how to live a God-led life is through faith. Now, of course, that sounds real easy and real simple, but it's kind of hard to have complete faith, like I said, in something that you can't always see or hear. But faith does not require you to see or hear. Faith does not require you to even know the answer. Faith just requires me to believe God throughout my life. Faith does not require me to make everything 100%, to be perfect. Faith doesn't require me to be perfect. Faith does not require me to put in, to go, sometimes we think faith requires me to pray, right? But faith doesn't require me to pray. Praying is an evidence that I have faith. Man, I want to make sure we get this and that this is clear. Faith, to have faith, there isn't a requirement to pray. But faith and prayer is the evidence that we have faith. Me fasting. Faith doesn't require me to fast. I don't have to fast to have faith. Faith encourages me, though, to fast. How can I plainly say this? I don't need actions to have faith. But having faith produces my actions. What does that mean? In Hebrews, it simply says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning that I'm putting my faith in God. I'm putting my faith in Him and who He is and what His ability and His power can do. I'm putting my faith in Him that He saved me. I'm putting my faith in Him that He forgives me. I'm putting my faith in Him that He loves me. I'm putting my faith in Him. I'm putting my trust in Him. I'm putting my hope in Him that He cares about me. Do I always have the evidence of that? No. Remember, in Hebrews it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Meaning that faith is my substance. Faith is what I cling to. And do I actually have it? No. But I believe in it. I choose in my mind and in my heart to believe in Him, in His ability, in His power, in His might, in His forgiveness, in His love. I choose to believe that even when I don't see the evidence of it. Now, when I put my faith in Him, I then put an object behind that faith. What do I mean? Let's say I'm trying to grow closer to God in my walk with Him. I put my faith in God that He's going to grow closer to me. Well, what happens when I put my faith in God that He's going to grow closer with me? My faith in Him is then going to produce action. What is that action? I'm going to read my word more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to throw in a fast day here or there. I'm going to continue to go to church. I'm going to continue to gather with friends and with family who want to share about God, who wants to share testimonies about Him to grow closer to Him. Right? What do I mean? Scripture says this, that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Say it again. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. Is the scripture saying that there's no work involved in my salvation, or that there's no action that I need to take? No, it's not saying that. But it is saying is that my faith in Christ grants me access to His grace, which enables me to get closer to Him. It enables me to gain and to receive salvation, because before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, I couldn't do that. How does this all make sense? How can I all tie this into our lives, right? Faith is the first step to get to God. Scripture says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Meaning that my faith and my belief in God grants me access to Him. I believe by faith that I'm saved. I believe by faith that I'm healed. I believe by faith that I'm set free. I believe by faith that I won't keep being confused. I believe by faith that I'm going to be whatever God called me to be. My first way, the first step to living a God-led life is by first having faith in Him. Before I start praying, before I start fasting, before I do anything, I must first believe. I think sometimes we've come up with every step. We'll tell somebody what to do to change. We'll tell somebody what to do to be a better person. We come up with steps and we come up with things that may work, it may not work. And I don't mean to offend anybody. I don't mean to offend anybody who has written books about steps or has written things about steps or has sermons and put steps in there and processes and all this type of stuff. I'm not against it. I do that sometimes. But I think we forget that the first step to pleasing God, the first step that we had to take for salvation, had to come through faith. It had to come through believing in God. It had to come through us not focusing on necessarily what we see, what we know, what we hear, what we may experience in life, even though things are just crazy. The first thing is my faith. The first step is my faith. Jesus was getting ready to leave. He was getting ready to He was getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he was talking to Peter. And he says to Peter, Peter, hey, Satan, he has this desire to sift you as wheat. When I was a little boy, my dad read me this scripture and he wanted to show me, and I can't even remember why he wanted to show me this, but he wanted to show me what it looked like to sift something, right? And my dad showed me this sifter. It was an actual device. It wasn't just a little shaker, but he said you put the flour in, you hold this. It was like a little cup that had turned on the side of it. It was a silver metal cup. It had a handle, and he said you pour the flour in and you turn. And what this does, Dave, is it sifts the flour, gets all the lumps out. And he says, this is what the devil wants to do to your life. He wants to sift you. He wants to shake you up. He wants to break you down. And the Bible says that Jesus says to Peter, but I prayed for you. And the prayer was simply that your faith fail not. Man, y'all, he says, my prayer for you. And man, I'm trying my hardest to not cry today because I believe that I am talking to somebody. And maybe this podcast doesn't make sense to you. Maybe you're listening, and I pray to God you're not confused. I pray to God that I was able to help you make sense, because I know I have to end soon. And I have to bring this to a close. But he simply says, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. That your belief, that your trust in God does not fail. To everybody that is listening to this podcast, please hear me and hear me well. This life may be crazy. You may be trying to figure it all out, and it's all chaotic, and you're trying to figure out where to start. You're trying to figure out where God went. You're trying to lead a God-led life, but it just seems like every single place that you go, every so far, it just seems like you're getting smacked every which way. It seems like you get ahead and then you fall back. It seems like you break the habit, then the habit comes back. It seems like, man, I just can't win. My prayer for you, I'm begging you, I'm asking God that your faith in him doesn't fail. You have to hold on to your faith. I thought it was in everything else, y'all. I thought it was, you know, to live a God-led life meant to do all of these different practices, and that it meant to do this and to do that and all these kind of things. And all those things are great. All those disciplines are great, but they mean nothing if they are not done in faith. Without faith, they are void. You have to believe. And that's the first step to learning to live a God-led life. And that's how I'm learning to live this God-led life, is through my faith in him. So no, I don't know if I always made the right decisions. And yeah, I had some ups and downs. And yeah, I've been through some different things. And yeah, sometimes I have these questions in my mind about myself and about life and about everything. But the one thing that God brings me back to is my faith in him. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much just for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you so much for whoever may hear this podcast, whoever may be listening, whoever may be trying to just figure out life, God. I pray, God, for them, that you strengthen them, that their faith don't fail them, that God, you give them strength, that you give them guidance, that you give them protection, and that you help them in whatever season of life they are in. Help us all, God, we need you. And we can't make it without you. God, we thank you. God, we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I plan on doing this a lot more often. I plan on doing this once a week. Again, I record on Wednesdays and I try to get them out on Fridays. You may see a little bit of variance with that, but my hope is that I can get back to doing these consistently. Because I believe that God has a purpose for me, and he's given me words to say to people. And I hope and I pray that the words that went forth today are encouraging. And I pray that today you are satisfied, that today you become full, and that you go back to your first love, and that you hang on to your faith. Because that is how we live a God-led life. It's through our faith. Does it mean we stop all the other things? No. It just means that we let faith be the push, and we trust God to do the rest. God bless y'all. Have an amazing day. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.